Little Philip was a little boy that was born with Down syndrome. He was just a young man, but he had this disability, this thing that the kids used to make a lot of fun with him, at Sunday school. And the story is told about one day that his Sunday school teacher and all the kids, they went outside, and the teacher gave all the kids an empty egg. And the kids all took the empty egg, and they ran outside, and they were told these instructions. I want you, little children, I want you to go outside, and I want you to find some symbol for new life. It's a lovely spring day, so I'm sure you can find something. Find something that's a symbol of new life. And they were to put it in their little egg and bring it back into the classroom. Well, the kids went off and they did this, and they were excited about this. And they returned to the classroom, and everybody put their containers out there on the table. And then, surrounded by the children, the teacher began to open the eggs one by one. There was a flower, a butterfly, there was a leaf. And all the kids were ooh and ah and just excited about the things that they were finding. And then one of them was opened and it was empty. There was nothing in it. The children said, oh, that's stupid. What's wrong with, who did that? Why didn't they put something in the egg? That's not fair. Philip spoke up, that's mine. That's mine. Philip, you never do things right. Can't you understand? You're supposed to put something in the egg. I did the assignment. I did do it. It's empty. The tomb was empty. And silence followed. Our young minds sometimes can fathom these tremendous truths much easier than we can. And dear little Philip understood the truth that new life was shown by an empty tomb. You see, today our world is filled with people that are critics of the supernatural things that happened, the supernatural miracles that took place in the Word of God. You and I, we've got to understand that these are incredible works of God. And the greatest of all of these supernatural events, I believe, is the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd like us, if we could is turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I appreciated the music today. I appreciate Julia as you shared the song there at the foot of the cross. For really, that's where it begins, isn't it? The story of the resurrection. The story begins with the cross bearing the life of a perfect man, the perfect Son of God. Just remember with me those events that took place just 3 days earlier. He's betrayed in the garden by Judas Iscariot. He's taken at night and given trial by the religious leaders and taken to Pilate, then Herod, and then Pilate again, all the while being mocked and tortured and beaten. Did he deserve these things? The children knew that answer. No, he did not. The Lord Jesus never did anything wrong. He was the perfect, sinless Son of God. And yet, as he prayed in the garden, Lord, take this cup from me, but yet your will be done, Father. The Lord Jesus knew what the will of the Father was, and that was that he go to the cross, and on the cross, God's plan and God's design would be that he bear the sins of the world upon himself so that you and I, that we might know new life. For sin had to be paid for. God in His wrath, holy wrath against sin, and yes, God is a God of wrath. Sin must be dealt with and must be punished. And because of that very fact, death was brought into the world. Death being that separation from God for all of eternity. Death is the punishment of sin. And because you and I, we are all born into this world with sin, we deserve death. And the Apostle Paul says in the book of Romans that the wages of our sin is death. But that's not the end of the story. And I love that fact. I love the fact that the story does not end with death. But no, the Lord Jesus went to the cross to suffer that death for you and for me. He was buried. He was laid in a tomb. And the tomb was sealed and guarded by Roman soldiers. And then, the morning of the third day, three ladies come to the tomb, and there they are confronted with its emptiness. And then the world has come to know that death is lost and life has won, because our Lord is alive. The Apostle Paul in this passage in 1 Corinthians addresses this idea of the resurrection. Here in this passage, he addresses the fact about what if the resurrection didn't happen? Then what? What does that mean for you and for me? I'm going to read this passage for us together. I want you, as you read along with me, I want you to ask yourself these questions. What do I believe about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Ask yourself that question. What do you believe about it? Do you believe anything at all? Or do you avoid thinking about these kinds of controversial things? What does this passage tell me about Jesus and the resurrection? Do I believe God is speaking to me today through these words? Ask yourself these questions. Because I believe that God is speaking to you today. And I want you, I want us, me, you, to understand these profound truths so that we can all walk from this place rejoicing that we serve a risen Savior. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to start in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I have delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12, and after that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all He was seen of me also, as of one born of due time. Verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now listen to these verses, starting verse 12 here. Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, How say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also in vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. This passage, I tell you, is pretty powerful. Because what you have here is the Apostle Paul speaking to these Corinthian believers, and he's telling them, listen to me. Some of you have been tempted to believe that there's no resurrection, that it's not possible for people, once they have died, to be brought back to life. Or in this context here, this idea of this resurrection, when you and I die, we're brought to life to be with the Lord in heaven. We're given a new body. And some people were tempted not to believe these kinds of things. And the Apostle Paul says, listen to me, if there is no resurrection, then Christ was not raised. And then if Christ was not raised from the dead, he goes on a list of six different things that I want us to acknowledge today. What I believe today, we need to understand the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look at this in verse 14. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. Why would he say that? Why would the Apostle Paul say that our preaching is in vain if Christ is not alive? Why preach and teach about somebody that is dead? That's his point. Why am I preaching here if Jesus Christ is dead? It's a pointless thing, because if Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, could not conquer death himself, my preaching is empty. There's no truth in it. What else does he say here? He says in verse 14, he says, my preaching is in vain. And what? My preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. If Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, and my preaching is in vain, and your faith, it's worthless, it's pointless, it's empty. You have faith in a Savior that's still in the grave. That's worthless. What else does he say here? He says, verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. So the first thing is, we see, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, our preaching is in vain. I don't need to be up here, because I don't have a message to declare. And then, therefore, your faith, what you believe, it's pointless, because Jesus Christ is still dead. And if he's still dead, what are you saved from? Because your Savior is still dead. And then, you are false witnesses. We're liars. Why? Because for years now, we've been declaring that Jesus Christ has been arisen. The Apostle Paul here, you know, he's been teaching and preaching for years, and now, if Jesus Christ has not arose, I'm a liar. And everybody else around me that's believed this is a liar. We're false witnesses. Verse 15 says this, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he has raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Verse 16, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, here's the next thing here. Our faith is in vain, and we are yet in our sins. He repeats the idea that your faith is in vain, and then he says this profound thing, and I want you to listen to this. We are yet in our sins. What is Christianity all about? What is the gospel about? The gospel is about how Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, can save us and give us eternal life so that we don't have to pay the penalty of our sin. We don't have to continue to be enslaved by the bondage of sin and death. That's where you and I were before we met Jesus. We were enslaved to sin. That's all we knew. That's what we lived. Because we didn't know Jesus. But the Lord Jesus Christ has come so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Do you see, you and I can have abundant life in Jesus. The next thing we see here is the end of 17 says, you are yet in your sins. And then verse 18 says, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. So what this means then, if Christ did not rise and the dead do not rise again, then all those people that have died in Christ, they're just dead. Their bodies are in the grave. They're done. Destroyed, ruined, lost. It's done. There's no life after the grave. And what's the final thing here? Verse 19. If in this life, if in this physical life that you and I know, if in this physical life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Who likes to be around a miserable person? Who likes to feel miserable? Let me tell you something. If the whole point of Christianity is that Jesus lived a good life and then he died, where's the hope? Where's the joy? We are of all men most miserable. That term there is to be pitied. We're of all men to be pitied. People can just pity us because what's the point of our life? Now, I've created and I've done the negative first on purpose. Because I wanted us to see the importance of the resurrection of our Lord. Because what we have seen here is a bleak picture. We're miserable. We're yet in our sin. Our faith is in vain. What's the use of preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? But let's look at the flip side of these things. So if the resurrection, or since the resurrection has taken place, the opposite of our being that our preaching is in vain is what? Our preaching is of great importance. Or let me put it this way. Our preaching is life-changing. Listen to this story about Peter in the book of Acts. This is Acts chapter 4. Just listen to this. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, that to all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, and whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. Do you see what Peter did there? It's because of Jesus Christ, and he died, and God raised him from the dead. That's the whole reason this man here that he healed is made whole. Our preaching has great purpose. And let me tell you what, I'm not the only preacher in here. All of us, preaching is, it means proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming. All of us can fit in this category of being preachers. And listen, folks, because Jesus Christ has arisen, our preaching has purpose, and it is life-changing. The resurrection gives us purpose and gives the gospel of Jesus Christ the power to change lives. Well, the next thing that Paul talked about was that our faith was in vain if Christ did not rise, but since Christ has arisen, our faith is worth dying for. Do you realize, folks, that if we served a God that still was in the grave, what would be the point of giving one's life for the Lord? Giving one's life for ministry, for years of his life to serve the Lord, what would be the point? What would be the point of all those martyrs going to the stake and standing up for the Lord until the very end? What is the point of Stephen being stoned there if Jesus was still in the grave? Let me tell you something. Because Jesus is not in the grave, he is alive today. Our faith, it's worth dying for. It's got incredible meaning and power. It's worth standing up for. Paul writes this, else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Paul's point there is, I'm dying daily, folks. I'm suffering here. What's the point of all this if Jesus Christ hasn't arose? His point is, he has arisen. And there is tremendous value. Because otherwise, we should just tell people to live, eat, drink, be merry. For tomorrow, you're just going to die. That's the world out there. That's what they're doing, folks. People that don't know Jesus, they're just making the best of their life they have now. Because what's after it, they don't know. Our faith, because we serve a risen Savior, it's worth dying for. And what's next here? One hand, you're false witnesses. If Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, I've been telling you the wrong stuff all along. But since Jesus Christ has arisen, our testimonies are true. They're real. They're valuable. The book of Acts, it says this, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Acts chapter 4. Great power was upon the apostles as witnesses of the resurrection. There is tremendous power and value in knowing that we serve a risen Savior, and our testimonies, the things that we have said and believed all along, are true. And times, folks, maybe you doubt these things. Maybe you have people that ask you questions and cause you to doubt. I want you to cling to this word, the book, the Bible, and believe that your testimonies are true. Your faith is worth dying for. And your preaching, your proclaiming, it's life-changing. On the other one hand, you're dead in your sins. You're stuck in your sin if Christ didn't rise from the dead. The flip side of that is we can live a life of freedom from sin's bondage. Apart from Jesus Christ, we live a life of bondage to sin. We are enslaved to sin. Some of you maybe can remember back to those days when before you knew Jesus Christ, and you can remember you were caught in your pride and your selfishness. You did things for yourself. It was all you knew to do. Your sin. What is sin? Sin is those things that do not meet the righteous standard of our holy God. All of us are sinners. But my prayer is that all of us will walk out of those doors, sinners, that have been saved by the risen Lord.
Amen.
There's a great, vast difference, folks. And God wants us to understand that today. You don't have to live being stuck in your sin, but you can live alive and live with the freedom of Jesus Christ in your life. And what that means is that you can please God by your life, because Jesus Christ has changed you. But apart from Him, you cannot please God. So your preaching, it's life-changing. Your faith, it's worth dying for. Your testimonies, they're true. And your life, you've got freedom from the bondage of sin. We've got two more here. The one hand, those people that have gone on before and died in Christ, they're still dead if Jesus Christ did not rise. But since Jesus Christ has risen, there is a future. There is life beyond the grave. What a joy that is. Do you realize what joy and hope that brings to a person? What hope it brings to your life to know that there is life beyond the grave? That life just doesn't stop when you stop breathing and your heart stops and your brain waves stop? No. There is eternal life awaiting those. Eternal life with Jesus in heaven. Awaiting those who have trusted Jesus. And it's because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that shows that death is not the victor. No, God has power over sin and over death. And that very act of the resurrection of Jesus Christ proves the power of God over sin and over death. So we've got a blessed future, folks. In Jesus Christ. And finally, instead of being the most miserable people, we can be the most joyous and blessed people on the earth. And let me tell you something, Christian, I'm talking to myself. Sometimes we aren't the most joyous and blessed people, are we? But let me tell you, we've got great reason to be. Because we serve a risen Savior. And if Jesus didn't rise, we'd be most miserable. But since He has risen again, His life, His death, His resurrection, all has meaning because He's alive today. That's what gives it the meaning. It's the resurrection. So, today is a day of victory. Today's a day of incredible things that we are celebrating, and that is the incredible victory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to read for you from 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Just listen to these truths. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Don't miss that, folks. There is a living hope because of Jesus Christ, and he's arisen. There's a living hope. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." I believe the Word of God puts it best there, and I trust that those words spoke mightily to your heart. And now in closing,
What I would like to do is I'd like you to picture with me back in the day, the Lord Jesus, he's died upon the cross and now he's arisen. And I want you to put your mind in the place of the followers of Jesus during those days. And listen to these thoughts. They'd sealed his broken body in a newly finished tomb. And even that was loaned them by a friend. They spent the endless hours wondering who would be the next and why something so perfect had to end. As if it weren't enough to haunt them that their hopes and fears and dreams were gone. Shattered by the hammer and some nails, silent accusations of the fear that gripped their hearts made a farce of everything he told them from the start. They said that now that it was over, she should go home and get some rest. She was sure they meant well with their words, but for her, it wasn't over. It would never, never be. Her child would always be alive to her. The things that she had stored away there deep upon her breast paraded back and forth across her mind. And from that moment that she felt the baby leap within her womb, somehow she'd known that life could not be sealed up in a tomb. It seemed I'd gone forever without a ray of hope. My prayers, they just echoed empty down the hall. The statements that I'd made returned to me at night. They questioned me, and no one seemed to answer when I call. The music, joy, and all the friends I had, they were gone. But all I had to hold to were his words to promise to be with me and never let me go. So that is what I held to. It was all that I could know. Sometimes we meet together in our cloistered upper rooms. We drink the wine and share the broken bread and promise one another to be true until the end to all the things our Lord and Master said. And yet, when we are facing the dark times of our lives, those hallelujahs, they seem so far away. Our failures and our humanness is all we see and hear, and all our best intentions, they just seem to melt and disappear. Listen to me. When the final word is spoken and the last farewell is said, and gone is all our chance to sell or buy, when the last child is delivered and the last soul is laid to rest, and all the tears are shed we'll ever have to cry, when the sands of time have sifted through the minutes and the days, what's done is done. What's said is said. Now, just before the music fades from all our songs of faith and hope, a trumpet blast will bring the shout of victory, and we'll know death has lost, life has won, and mourning, mourning has come. Heavenly Father, we stand here amazed at the tremendous power, the reality of the resurrection of our Savior. And now, dear Lord, as we close our service, rejoicing because you are alive, Lord, I pray that you would speak in a powerful way to all of us this morning. Remind us of the reality of the resurrection and its great power. And thank you, Lord, that we serve you, a risen Savior. And God, may we have great purpose and reason to go and tell others about him today. In Jesus' name, amen.